538 years. Is that right? 538 years ago, on the bank of the Ganga, the most significant effect, the most significant event since the beginning of Kali Yuga took place. Kali Yuga began with Krishna's departure from this world. It's not a good age, and it's the best of ages. Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities. It opens with the words, "It was the worst of times and the best of times." You may have heard of Charles Dickens. If you didn't, you didn't lose anything. But anyway, it was the worst of times and the best of times. So Kali Yuga is the worst of times and the best of times. It's the worst because it's an ocean of faults. Prayanal payusha sabyo kalava smin yuga janaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hinupajutaha. Everyone pretty much has short life. They're stupid. They're bad-natured, lazy. Their minds are always disturbed. Kale dosha nidheira rajan. This Shukadev Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj some of the symptoms, prominent symptoms of Kali Yuga, which is just about to unfold. Kali Yuga began the moment that Krishna left this world, but Parikshit was holding it back by his influence. Now Kali had found a way to nullify Parikshit Maharaj, to get him removed from the scene. So what will happen? So many bad things will happen. But Parikshit, it's just like a fighter in a battle. He's struck mortally, but with his last strength, he throws a weapon which is deadly to the enemy. So in the same way, Parikshit is struck by Kali. Of course, it's all in the plan of Krishna, because Parikshit could have counteracted the curse by which he had to die in 7 days. But he took it as the blessing of the Lord. And by his being cursed, Kali arranged. But then the Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadev. And that Bhagavatam was the foundation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. After Parikshit left, Kali Yuga began in full force. He was shocked to see the cow being beaten, the bull being beaten, but he could not imagine how in Kali Yuga there will be slaughterhouses in this land for systematic killing of cows. It's a very distasteful age. But it's also Dhanya Kali Yuga. The Vaishnava poets describe its most fortunate Kali Yuga. In 1,000 Kali Yugas in the day of Brahma, one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. Krishna comes, the Dwarapa Yuga, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. That's why this Kali Yuga especially is Kale Sabha, that I was saying before. kale darshane deva janna sihe ko mahan guna kirtana deva krishna sya mukta sanga parang vrajet. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. After outlining some of the bad effects of Kali Yuga, which might have seemed impossible at that time, Shukadeva Goswami, he summed it up saying it's just like an ocean of faults. But there's one great quality: simply by chanting the names of Krishna, one can be freed from all of this, freed from material existence, and go back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. Therefore, kale sabhajyantyara gunaga sarabhagina yatra sankirtananeva sarava swartho bhilapyate. Therefore, Kali Yuga is praised by persons who are actually very deeply understanding. They praise, yes, Kali Yuga is very good. It's the worst of ages and the best of ages. Because simply by chanting the names of Krishna in this age, everything is easily obtainable. That was there in Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he revealed that. I was saying this morning how so many people in Bengal, they have a natural attraction to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it's most surprising that even though Bengalis are very proud of their culture, I think in all of India, the Bengalis are more proud of their culture and their language more than any part of India. And they're very proud that so many great people were born in Bengal. There's so many great Bengalis. And especially toward the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th, they like to remember the names, especially of... No, I won't say the names. Anyway, but they don't see that even if we see from an objective perspective, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest person ever to be born in Bengal. I won't say he's a Bengali. He's more than a Bengali. Even our Prabhupada, he's not really like a Bengali. Not like a typical Bengali. Even on Bengali culture, what an influence. Bengali language. The first great book written in Bengali, or what can be identified as Bengali, is Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Prior to that, Gunaraj Khan had written the Sri Krishna Bijoy. So these are the first writings by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. And even scholarly critics of Bengali language say that the Bengali language is so much enriched by the Vaishnavas, especially the Vaishnava poets. There are literally thousands and thousands of songs that have been composed in Bengali by devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praising Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praising Krishna. Thousands, and more also in Brajbuli, but mostly by Bengali poets. So that huge influence is there. And now, if we see, what is the influence all over the world? Who's the most influential Bengali in the history in the world today? we can, well, I was going to say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's not, neither of them are really Bengalis, but it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence has been spread by our Srila Prabhupada. It's a great honor. Srila Prabhupada was sometimes commenting that what he has done and why Indian people are not taking it more seriously, what a great thing he has done for India. Even in cultural terms, the honor of India, what he has done. Otherwise, in the West, India generally had a pretty bad name. It was known as being a poverty-stricken country, with a caste system. And Indians who went to the West, they were generally thought of as being small-time cheaters, many of them. That was the impression we had. Srila Prabhupada, he gave the culture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was very intent on doing that. Unlike some people today who they want to give Krishna consciousness stripped of its cultural trappings. They want to present it in Western culture, if you can jive with that oxymoron. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to give Krishna consciousness as far as possible within the traditional setting, to the extent of changing the whole of society so that it could be as far as possible as it was in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, living simply, chanting Hare Krishna, discussing from Shastra, discussing about Krishna. He wanted to bring that culture. This is actual culture. This is real culture. Live very simply, chant Hare Krishna. And we happily enjoy remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The numbers are increasing. We should go on increasing. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Anandam buddhi vardhana. Increase the ocean of transcendental bliss. Specifically, this refers to the chanting of the holy name, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. But everything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, simply blissful. I've been talking a lot about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's distress in that he exhibited. But today we're remembering the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a very happy time. As long as he was in Navadvip, it was basically a very happy time. At the time of his birth, there was happiness mixed with trepidation. Trepidation means you're afraid, anxiety, what's going to happen? Because previously Shachimata, so many children had died. And then Vishwarup had survived. And they were afraid, will this child survive? So his name was given Nimai. Born under a neem tree. And also the neem is protection from the various bad elements, witches and ghosts who often kill children in the early age, just after they're born. Nowadays, ghosts don't do it. Humans, mothers do it themselves. Because such a bad age. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, and his pastimes were very blissful. His father passed away, which was great grief for his mother, but she took pleasure in seeing the face of her son, her headstrong son. And then, of course, Vishwarup took sannyas, and then Jagannath Mishra passed away. So there was only this son. Nimai was everything for Sachimata, and she had a hard time with him, in the sense that he was a very headstrong young boy. He would do all kinds of naughty things. She couldn't control him. But at the same time, just as she was the most affectionate mother, he's the most affectionate son. So she wanted to see him married. Every mother wants to see her son married. I'm talking about in human society. Now, things have changed. Still in India, they want the sons to be married. In other countries, in the so-called Western culture, they don't care. They want to throw the son out of the house. So if he doesn't leave, they want to throw him out as soon as possible. I don't know why Indians are so anxious to copy the West. It's really a disaster. So she wanted to get him married. She had him married. Then Lakshmi Priya died. She was much distressed. But he wasn't. He didn't show lamentation. He came on the platform of a pundit. He taught, don't be distressed by death. He didn't perform many miracles. There may be more miracles performed by other holy men, within brackets. But the one time he brought Srivas Pandit's son back to life, just as in the case of Chitraketu Maharaj, and had him speak spiritual knowledge, and then sent him on his way. Maybe you have heard one time, Janmashtami, Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan. So they went through the whole day fasting, so many activities. And they had an arati at midnight, and everyone was thinking, now we'll break our fast. They were very anxious. And Prabhupada said, let's sit down and read Krishna book. So they started reading, and starting from chapter 1. And chapter 1 finished, I thought, okay, now we can take prasadam. And Prabhupada said, read the next chapter. So they went on for some time. And then Prabhupada said, all right, you go and take prasad. You've been fasting all day. So you go and take prasad. You've been fasting all day. Hare Krishna. Raja Hote Nadi Ai Shaito Esachi. He's come from Vrindavan to Nadia. He's come. So now he's come, and you can all take Anukalpa Prasad. Hare Krishna.